Our virtual mailbag was overflowing this week with memories of radio storyteller Gene Shepherd.
Last week, we played an excerpt of his broadcast from 40 years ago in which he described his experience at the March on Washington.
Listener Dennis Vanderlasky writes that Shepherd's essay led to one of my longest driveway moments that I've had since actually listening to Shepherd live in the mid-1960s. As my car's air conditioner condensate formed a river down my driveway on the humid Virginia afternoon, I recalled how civilized commercial AM radio once was.
What a time machine, writes Carol Lynn Ressel from Winthrop, Maine. It brought me back to my childhood on Staten Island, when I'd lie awake past midnight listening to Gene Shepherd's magical broadcasts on WOR radio. That piece would have been broadcast when I was about to enter my senior year at Tottenville High School. My 25-year-old son, who knew of the broadcasts but never heard one, stood in the kitchen wearing a transfixed, transported expression. Now he knows.
Robert's conversation with Laurent de Brunoff, the artist who created the pachyderm-packed Babar Museum of Art, prompted Jenny Cooner of Oklahoma City to write, "Bugs Bunny introduced my generation to the opera world. Perhaps Babar will introduce the next generation to the world of great art."
Last week, we talked with photojournalist Patrick Schneider of the Charlotte Observer. The North Carolina Press Photographers Association rescinded three awards given him after concluding that he had violated the ethics of the trade by altering the editorial content of his pictures. We said, by darkening some areas and brightening others.
Well, Chuck Liddy, who is president of the NCPPA and a staff photographer at the Raleigh News and Observer, writes with several objections, among them that, in his words, Mr. Schneider did not darken the areas in question, he deleted them, turning them black, like someone had hung a black cloth behind the subjects. In one case, he had removed people he deemed distracting. In one photo, a parking lot with cars in it was removed. We are allowed to de-emphasize a background, not remove it. And, Mr. Liddy adds, you failed to mention that Mr. Schneider was reprimanded by his paper, the Charlotte Observer, over these issues, with a 3-day unpaid suspension.
Our interview with Nancy Pearl, the model for the new Librarian action figure doll, drew this confession from Deborah Willis in Riverside, California. She writes, "A while back, my husband and I invented a superhero called Reference Librarian. Reference Librarian became an important part of our lives, kind of an imaginary playmate to be summoned whenever we needed some crucial bit of information but couldn't readily find it. In our best Superman-style voices, we'd say, 'This is a job for Reference Librarian.' We look forward to adding the Librarian action figure to our household."
But Christina Vital, a librarian from Chicago, is disappointed that the action figure's action is a shushing gesture, which, Ms. Vital writes, only perpetuates the stereotypical frumpy shushing image, hardly a heroic symbol. Instead of the plastic arm raised to shush, it should be raised in a fist to fight cutbacks and censorship issues.
Finally, Neil Schaefer writes from Milwaukee with a pet peeve that has to do with the Latin Grammy Awards, which we talked about yesterday. He writes, "They are properly the Latin American Grammy Awards. I teach Latin, the language spoken during the Roman Republic and Empire 2,000 years ago. The Romans have no Grammy Awards. No one at the awards will speak or sing in the Latin language."
Well, if they did have Latin Grammys, we know Finland's Dr. Amont would be a nominee.
Tenere me suaviter, ama intime.
Tenere me ama, sung by the Latin-singing Finnish Elvis, Dr. Amont. And yes, he is a real doctor.
You can send your pet peeves, comments, and corrections to atc@npr.org. And please remember to let us know where you're writing from and how you pronounce your name.